It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it is your public radio station. Well, these skies are supposed to be mostly sunny. It looks overcast out my window. But we're looking for a high to approach 30 today and go all the way up to 31 by 3 a.m. tonight. Northwest winds to 5 will become calm this afternoon and then turn to the south this evening. So we're looking for a little snow after 3 a.m. tonight. New snow accumulation of less than 1 inch is possible overnight tonight. But we're looking at some snow before noon tomorrow as well, turning to rain and snow between noon and 3 p.m., then a chance of rain and snow after that. High near 36 tomorrow. Maybe an inch of that wet stuff will come down tomorrow. Coming up on the Midday Report, the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce has sent out a survey. Petersburg got nearly 2 feet of snow over the weekend. We have a report on what that meant for them. And the Mitchell Expressway Bridge will remain closed. It was seriously damaged when it was struck by a piece of heavy equipment.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Faced with the highest inflation rate in nearly 40 years, the Federal Reserve now plans to accelerate its timetable for raising interest rates in the United States. NPR Scott Horsley with details.
The Federal Reserve now says it will phase out its pandemic-era bond buying program more quickly than initially announced just 6 weeks ago. That could pave the way for the Fed to start raising interest rates earlier next year if policymakers decide that's what's needed to keep inflation from spiraling out of control. The Fed still believes the pandemic is a major driver of inflation and that upward pressure on prices should ease once the public health outlook improves. But the longer that takes, the greater the danger that higher inflation becomes ingrained in the economy. Notably missing from this latest Fed statement is the word transitory, which the central bank had been using to describe inflation in the past. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
Despite high inflation and supply chain disruptions, retail sales heading into the holidays rose 0.3% in November, but the increase was slower than the 1.8% surge the month before. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is now up 382 points, closing up more than 1%. The Nasdaq closes up more than 2%. S&P up more than 1.5%. President Biden is in tornado-ravaged Kentucky. Today, he increased federal aid for debris removal and other emergency measures from 75% to 100% of the eligible cost for 30 days. Karen Czar of member station WUKY has the latest.
Everett Eastwood is helping clear debris from his friend's yard for the fifth straight day. There's little evidence that a house once stood there. He expects to meet President Biden during his visit to Dawson Springs, but all he really wants to hear is that more help is on the way.
I don't know. I don't have nothing to say about him. But hopefully everybody will get the help they need, especially the ones that don't have nothing.
Biden's been praised for fast-tracking an emergency declaration hours after the storm hit, which allowed federal aid to arrive quickly. Many say while that is appreciated, the cost of rebuilding will be enormous. For NPR News, I'm Karen Czar in Dawson Springs.
At least 88 people died in tornadoes in several states, the vast majority of the victims in Kentucky. NPR's David Shaper reports on how another hard-hit community, Mayfield, is doing this hour.
I'm standing on one of the main streets in downtown Mayfield, where the cleanup effort is well underway. There are two big backhoes here, scooping up twisted metal, splintered wood, crumbled bricks and concrete and other debris, and putting it into highway department dump trucks to be hauled away. But given the massive scope of devastation here, this cleanup effort will take some time, and it may be years before the city of Mayfield is able to fully recover.
NPR's David Shaper in Mayfield, Connecticut. This is NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
Kodiak businesses have had a problem for the last year. Job openings are plentiful, but workers to fill those jobs are rare. Jenna Lowmaster, executive director of the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce, has decided to go and ask the workers of Kodiak what's changed for them.
We have put together a workforce survey to take a glance at what's going on within the Kodiak community. We've talked with many businesses, and they've come to us to, you know, try to figure out what's happening. We know that there's been a problem over the last several months and a shortage, and it's hit almost every industry within Kodiak, and we've acknowledged that, and we want to try to help come up with a solution to find out what is actually happening.
There are many different theories as to where the workers went, but Lowmaster isn't looking to confirm any suspicions. She wants a local explanation for the problem so the chamber can work to address the problem locally.
I don't think it's that simple of an answer. I think we have to, you know, look at hopefully what this information comes back and it says, like, what some of the problems are. And then, what our goal is, obviously this survey is not going to solve the problem. We're looking for some solutions to the problem, but hopefully we can look at this and say, these are some of the areas that we as small businesses can help improve, whether, you know, it's wages, it's benefits, needing to help find childcare solutions, whatever it may be, but trying to help find some of those problems or the solutions to the problems.
Cards with QR codes linking to the online survey were sent to over 5,000 homes last week. The chamber is expecting to have results from the survey back in early February. Petersburg got nearly 2 feet of snow last weekend, causing one boat to sink in the harbor. Borough workers scrambled, attending to roads, power lines, and the harbors all day Saturday and Sunday. As KFSK's Angela Denning reports, the job isn't done yet.
Residents woke up Saturday morning to cars that were buried and impassable driveways.
Line crew was pretty much out all weekend dealing with issues here and there.
Carl Hagerman is the borough's utility director. He says there were no major power outages, but several smaller ones at people's homes. He says a lot of their work was dealing with tree branches coming into contact with power lines. It's a common problem when the snow gets heavy.
It's amazing how far a branch will drop down where it was clear by several feet before the snowfall, is now right in the line.
Power and Light received several phone calls about power flickering in and out over the weekend, and he says it's from the same thing.
The reason that flickering goes away and the power stays on is because those little branches will start to burn, and they'll actually burn away and they'll clear themselves, and then the fault doesn't exist anymore. And that could be happening in several locations around town.
Tree branches burning themselves away from power lines might sound like a natural fix, but it doesn't always work. And trees touching power lines can cause electrocution.
Especially, you know, kids like to be out and play in the snow, and they may not realize that a tree is leaning into a line and starting to act as a conductor.
Hagerman says it's nearly impossible to find the problems until there is a large enough fault where it trips a circuit. So, he encourages people to call Power and Light if they see any trees contacting power lines. Another way the public can help is clearing paths for the meter reader. The worker is on foot, and piled up snow can be an obstacle for them. Road crews were also out all weekend, says Chris Cotta, the public works director.
A lot of snow in a short amount of time, and we're still catching up. Our snow dumps and our street shoulders are full, and the crew is working right now to open things up again.
He says to even get started, his crew first had to make their way from their buried homes to get to the borough's plow equipment early Saturday morning. And the equipment itself isn't made to move large amounts of snow at once.
A lot of our routes are done partially by loaders, and, you know, a loader has a certain amount of snow that can be scooped up, and so, you know, when you get higher snow depth, it just takes longer for the equipment to deal with that snow.
The Public Works Department is asking residents to avoid parking in the street during snow removal and to be patient. If there is a bunch of snow, road crews will eventually return to driveways to clear large berms that they created. But it's not just on land where heavy snow presents issues. A 40-foot trolling boat sank in Petersburg's South Harbor, and another 50-foot vessel almost did. Both boat owners were out of town. Gloria Ann Wallen is the harbor master. She says her entire crew worked 20-hour days.
All hands on deck, because we had boats sinking and floats, and I think we made over 100 phone calls to boat owners to say, come down and deal with your vessel.
After 5 hours of work, the sunken boat resurfaced. Wallen says heavy snow and ice can shift the center of gravity on a boat and cause it to roll over. The forecast calls for cold temperatures to continue, but when it does warm up, Wallen says that can be just as threatening to boat owners.
Ways for boats to drain become frozen and kind of become plugs, and so you end up with a melting situation that has nowhere to go, and that'll create a lot of issue too.
She says boat owners should get boat watchers to check on their boats when they're out of town and to let the harbor know who it is in case something happens. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
The Mitchell Expressway Bridge in Fairbanks will remain closed until it can be repaired this summer. That's what State Department of Transportation officials decided Monday after engineers took a close look at the bridge, which they say it was seriously damaged last week when it was struck by a piece of heavy equipment. KUAC's Tim Ellis has this report.
The State Department of Transportation closed the bridge Friday afternoon after a piece of equipment loaded onto a trailer smacked into the concrete girders on the underside of the structure. Department spokesperson Danielle Tesson says the impact busted off several chunks of concrete that fell down onto South Cushman Street.
It hit it multiple times, so the impact caused concrete to fall from the bridge, and there was extensive cleanup that had to happen.
Tesson said DOT workers cleaned up the roadway and closed the right-hand lane of South Cushman that's underneath the part of the bridge that was damaged. They also closed the Mitchell off-ramp that merges onto the Richardson Highway and detoured that traffic onto 30th Avenue until engineers can determine whether the bridge is safe to use.
If you're traveling on the Mitchell Expressway, you're headed to North Pole, you're going to want to be aware of the 30th Avenue detour that you're going to have to take.
30th Ave turns into a stretch of the Old Rich, which then merges with the Richardson a couple of miles to the east. Tesson said Sunday that DOT engineers examined the bridge over the weekend to assess the damage, and they plan to talk about their findings today.
Monday, we should have the assessment completed, and we anticipate that we'll be able to know the next step.
Meanwhile, Fairbanks police are investigating the incident. A police spokesperson said Sunday afternoon that she didn't have much information yet and couldn't say, for example, whether the truck driver was cited. But she said investigators have determined that the damage was caused by a piece of heavy earth-moving equipment called an excavator that was being hauled on a trailer pulled by a semi registered to NC Machinery. The spokesperson said the excavator's arm was set up too high and hadn't been lowered enough to pass under the bridge. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Skagway officials have filed a lawsuit against the State Redistricting Board, claiming that it did not follow state constitutional guidelines when it put the borough in a House district with Juneau's Mendenhall Valley. KHNS's Mike Swayze reports Skagway takes issue with Upper Lynn Canal communities being detached from their current House district that includes downtown Juneau, Douglas Island, and the community of Gustavus.
The redistricting board opted to change Skagway's House district on their final redistricting map in early November. For about a decade, Skagway, Haines, and Clockwan have been aligned with downtown Juneau, Douglas Island, and Gustavus. But if the board's final decision holds, Skagway's House district will include Auk Bay and the Mendenhall Valley instead. Skagway Mayor Andrew Cremata says the redistricting board ignored testimony from Skagway residents.
It was relatively obvious that the redistricting board did not listen to the overwhelming majority in this community to remain in the district we've been in, along with downtown Juneau. Not only that, but we had a unanimous assembly. We're very clear that they wanted to remain in the district.
Cremata says Skagway has far more in common with downtown Juneau than the Mendenhall Valley, which is a more modern sprawl around Juneau's airport.
Not only do we have, you know, an economy based on cruise ships, just like downtown Juneau, but we're also linked historically with downtown Juneau. A lot of the buildings that were built during the gold rush and, you know, historical buildings, and our histories are shared. We don't have any of that with the Valley.
In October, Skagway's Assembly sent a letter to the redistricting board asking for a town hall meeting so that the concerns of residents could be heard. The board didn't come to Skagway but set up a Zoom meeting online. Skagway Assemblyperson Deb Potter was on that video call.
Every single person basically said the same thing, agreed with, you know, we have these socioeconomic common interests with downtown Juneau. Only one person spoke in favor of grouping us with the Valley and Auk Bay.
But when Potter went to look on the redistricting website for the minutes of that meeting, she says after hours of searching, she couldn't find any mention of those concerns.
I could not find one single bit of evidence that Skagway even ever gave testimony.
And so, under the direction of the borough manager, municipal staff, and the municipal law firm of Brenna, Bell, and Walker, crafted a lawsuit alleging multiple violations of redistricting code. Filed last Friday, the 10-page legal complaint alleges the map chosen by the board was never made available for public review or comment. It also calls the redistricting board's decision to change Skagway's district arbitrary and irrational. It goes on to list several common interests between Skagway and downtown Juneau that aren't shared by the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay. Skagway is not alone in its legal challenge of the redistricting board's final map. The city of Valdez, the Matanuska-Susitna borough, and individual plaintiffs in Anchorage are all challenging the new maps in court. Historically, legal challenges to redistricting maps are commonplace. The redistricting board will hold a meeting on December 15th, with legal challenges being addressed in a closed executive session. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
At this year's Alaska Federation of Natives Convention, sponsors of a ballot initiative took the opportunity to say their piece on why tribal recognition in the state is long overdue. The tribal recognition bill was passed this year in the House, but never went to a vote in the Senate. Kathia Ish Richard Peterson is the president of the Central Council Tlingit Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. He's also one of the initiative's sponsors.
A bill that did come forward from Representative Tiffany Zolkowski to recognize tribes couldn't make it because they were unable to really just get their business done. We thought it was better just let's put this in the hands of the people.
The initiative wouldn't give tribes any new power since they are inherently sovereign. Instead, the initiative aims to have the state acknowledge that sovereignty. Co-sponsor Lajenia Liz Medicine Crow says the relationship between the state and tribes needs to be solidified into law. Otherwise, tribes are caught in the middle of the politics of the current administration.
The state of Alaska has too often used our native communities and our tribes as a political hot potato.
The state and Alaska Native tribes already work together in a government-to-government capacity with tribal compacts. The state has a compact in child welfare that allows tribes to take charge in providing their own child welfare services. And earlier on Tuesday, Governor Mike Dunleavy spoke about creating tribal compacts in education.
I was very excited to hear that Governor Dunleavy is supportive of a government-to-government relationship with tribes. That's what this ballot initiative concretes and puts into law. We need to have that in order so that it is not just formal, but it is forever.
To make it on next year's ballot, the initiative needs over 36,000 signatures within a year of being approved. 2 months in, over a third of those signatures have already been gathered.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. One man brings bycatch education to the surface. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood brand tops all others on menus across the nation. Learn more at alaskaseafood.org.
Bycatch in fisheries will continue to dominate Alaska headlines as more people and lawmakers engage like never before. The increased awareness can be credited in great part to one man from Homer.
If we don't step up and keep an eye out for it now, you know, who will? It seemed like all the Alaskan resources were infinite for so long, but now we're coming up to where fisheries are being shut down. It's either step up or step out of the way, I guess.
David Bays is a longtime charter operator who says the waste of fish and habitat damage by trawlers made him step up. He's used social media to educate more Alaskans. His Facebook page, Stop Alaskan Trawler Bycatch, is nearing 18,000 followers in just a few months. Many point to what they call hypocrisy in fishing regulations.
One example was, you know, you see where a whale watching boat gets fined $10,000 for coming within 100 yards of an orca, but then the trawl fleet could scoop them up.
Bays uses managers' own numbers to make his points.
Every week, typically, they update and you can just click and see what the new info is, but I don't think a lot of people have done that, because once we started to post those numbers, you know, we'd run into trawl captains and trawl crew, and members of the MPFMC would say I was crazy and those numbers couldn't be and they're too huge, you know, and then you show them the link and say, those are your numbers.
Bays also has exposed how catch overage numbers often don't add up.
And you can see this progression through the year that, okay, this week they're another 10,000 pounds past their cap, and that got kind of funky when they started to adjust those quotas, showing that every week it was going negative, 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 and then they sort of reallocated and erased that.
He knows trawl gear is not going away, but Bays says it's time to tap the brakes.
It's gotten again and again to where the council system has said, okay, we're going to shut off directed fisheries, but the trawlers can't help it. It does so much to prevent the stock from ever bouncing back. The trawl fleet keeps hammering it a little bit at a time, and the small local boats just kind of sit there and twiddle their thumbs and wait.
Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 15th day of December, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 9:48. It will set again at 4:21. That will give us 6 hours and 33 minutes of glorious daylight, a loss of 57 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 45, set in 2014, and our record low is 3, set in 1925. Currently 25 degrees here at the station, and we are looking for northwest winds to 5, becoming calm this afternoon. For tonight, a little snow, mainly after 4 a.m. Low of about 24 tonight, with calm winds turning to the south and going to 5 miles per hour. Your chance of precipitation, 80% overnight, maybe a half an inch of snow-like material accumulating tonight. And they're looking for more snow before 1 p.m., turning to rain and snow after that. High near 36 tomorrow, with light and variable winds becoming southeast to 10. Looking at our local tides, we have an outgoing tide. Our next low tide here on the east side of the island will be at 6:11 p.m. That will be a 1/2 foot tide. The high tide after that will be at 12:34 a.m. after midnight. That will be a 6.6 foot tide, followed by a low tide at 5:36 a.m. of 3 feet. And our high tide for tomorrow morning will be at 11:49 a.m. and be 9.1 feet on the east side. Over on the west side, you have a low tide coming up at 6:38 this afternoon. That will be a 0.4 foot tide, followed by a high tide at 12:52 a.m., almost 1 a.m., 11.3 feet. That tide will be in Larsen Bay. And your next low tide will be at 6:24 in the morning, a 4 feet tide, followed by a high tide at 12:24 tomorrow afternoon on the west side of 14.4 feet. Mariners, here's your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore. Small craft advisory for tomorrow. Northwest wind to 15, becoming variable 10 this afternoon, seas to 7 feet today. For tomorrow, south 25, seas to 9 feet. Over in the Shelikof, Northeast 15 today, seas to 3 feet, building to 5 feet this afternoon with freezing spray today in the Shelikof. For tomorrow, east winds to 20 knots, seas to 4 feet. The Kodiak City and the Kodiak Island Borough Cooperative Relations Committee will hold a meeting today at 4:30 p.m. That's happening at the Borough Assembly Chambers. The meeting is open to the public. For packets and a link to see it online, go to the City Kodiak website. For more information, call the City Clerk at 486-8636 or the Borough Clerk at 486-9310. The KMXT Board of Directors is holding their next monthly meeting tonight. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. via Zoom. If you would like to sit in on the meeting, call the station at 486-3181 or send us an email requesting access. That email should go to gm@kmxt.org, and a link will be provided to you before the meeting. Also tonight at 7 p.m., KMXT's Big Christmas Sing-Along, a global Christmas. Just tune in to the radio station right here on 100.1 FM at 7 p.m., and you want to look for the song list and lyrics on the Kodiak Island Borough School District website. That's at www.kibsd.org. The holiday season is a time for giving, and you can help comfort Kodiak kids in foster care by bringing a newly stuffed animal or children's book to the library anytime before December 22nd. Donations will be given to the Kodiak's Office of Child Services to be shared with foster children in Kodiak. So their Saturday craft session coming up is at 10:30 a.m. The morning craft will be hurricane lanterns. The afternoon craft at 2 p.m. will be decorating gnomes. Call 486-8686 for a sign-up. Senior citizens of Kodiak and the Kodiak Area Transit System are happy to announce that the annual Christmas Light Tour is back. The Light Tour will be held December 17th, so Friday, 6 p.m. Just be at the center front door by 5:45, and the tour will begin at 6. Space is limited, so you want to call the center at 486-6181, and they'll get you on the list. And Skate with Santa is happening next Sunday, December 19th. That's happening from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Baranoff Park Ice Rink. Join Santa and friends for skating and hot cocoa. The Kodiak Hospital Auxiliary have put up their Angels of Love holiday trees at the hospital. Each angel placed on the trees bears the name of a person being honored or remembered. The angels remain on the trees through the holiday season and can be obtained for a $10 donation. All donations are placed in the auxiliary's scholarship fund to offer scholarships for individuals pursuing a career in the healthcare. You can make your donation at the hospital admissions desk or stop by their table at Safeway on Saturday. They'll be there from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. This is a great time to go to the Aleutic Museum. Natson has generously sponsored free admission for everybody through December 23rd. They're open Tuesday through Saturday from noon to 4 p.m., and they're located at 215 Mission Road. The Kodiak Borough Assembly will be having a regular meeting tomorrow. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. in the Bayside Fire Hall. And a black specialized bicycle is missing from a home on Razanoff. It had two flat tires, but it also had a set of black saddlebags. The saddlebags were a gift and had great sentimental value. The owner's name and phone number are engraved near the handlebars. If you have any information about this bicycle's whereabouts, please call 907-539-5610. Spring semester classes start at Kodiak College January 10th, and registration is live now. They have in-person classes during the day and evenings, along with online classes and hybrid offerings to fit a variety of schedules and needs. Free placement testing at the college will be offered December 6th through 9th and January 3rd through 6th. Not sure how to pay for classes or what your next steps are to get registered? Call Student Services at Kodiak College at 486-1266 for help exploring scholarships, financial aid, and the registration process. At Kodiak College, you can stay close and go far.
Listen.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.